Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. This particular episode falls under the How to Do HR banner and is the first episode in our two-part series on stress in the workplace. Now, contrary to popular belief, stress is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a normal response to certain situations that can help us to prepare ourselves for what's to come, keeps us alert, and can even keep us out of danger. However, too much stress, or stress for the wrong reasons, can have a negative effect on our health. Now, according to the World Health Organization, the most stressful type of work is that which values excessive demands and pressures that are not matched to workers' knowledge and abilities, where there is little opportunity to exercise any choice or control, and when there is little support from others. So in this episode, we're going to be looking at some of the steps HR can take to help prevent stress overload in the workplace. I'm joined by Mary Cullen, Insight HR's founder and managing director, and the newest member of our podcast panel, Laura Barry, HR consultant with the business. Good morning, both.
Good morning, Sarah.
Laura, I'm going to come to you first, as I'm sure our listeners are just dying to hear your voice. Laura, what do you think are some of the most common reasons for workplace stress?
Firstly, Sarah, thanks for inviting me on. I'm delighted to take part in my first podcast with Insight HR. Certainly, Sarah, now more than ever, I suppose workplace stress is extremely prevalent. The altered landscape of, I suppose, how we're now working has changed for many of us. And I suppose our normal work routine that we'd all been so familiar with has altered not just slightly, but significantly. Down through my years there in HR, I always think it's important for employers and line managers to be very mindful, very vigilant of the fact that, I suppose, what might appear minimal to one person can lead to be a major stressor for another person. So we're all different. We all have different personalities, and people have different coping mechanisms or how they deal with difficult situations. And I suppose that's life. But I suppose even considering pre-COVID, Sarah, the causes or the reasons for workplace stress is generally a combination of things. And just to talk you through a couple of them, really, unrealistic workloads, unrealistic targets being set. And I suppose the key word there is unrealistic. Working to very tight deadlines with minimal support. And over time, that constant pressure and expectation can lead to burnout and physical exhaustion if left unnoticed. So on the other hand, then you have insufficient workloads, whereby employees can feel completely undervalued, I suppose, and their skills not recognized or given an opportunity to be recognized and not doing the job or the role that they were hired to do in the first instance. And that can be very, very distressing. Then you've got the poor working environment as well, Sarah. And this can be initially something as small as the physical environment around you. So take, for example, we say excessive noise, poor lighting, the temperature is too hot, too cold, poor seating, insufficient workstations, sharing desks, all of those type of things. So that's certainly very frustrating as well on an employee if there's absolutely no effort made by an employer to provide a suitable workspace. So a poor working environment then can also mean a poor working culture, where I suppose trust or even lack of might be an issue, and a blame culture as well among peers, or even worse again by the direct line manager. So a culture of fault finding or I suppose intensified micromanagement. And in that type of environment, Sarah, as an employee, you do start to retract, you become nervous, and you know, you start to withdraw in fear. And there's nothing more debilitating over time than negative working relationships and poor working environment. So all of those examples, Sarah, whether in isolation or a combination, can manifest over time. So as an employee, you can start to internalize things, and workplace stress inevitably surfaces. So I suppose those core causes for workplace stress are even more amplified now. Throw in a global pandemic, and I suppose you have those added pressures and strains on both employers and employees. There may be understaffing issues as well, take for example our frontline workers, and things are intensified now. So, you know, for those working remotely, they may be going through all of this in their own homes as well. So your home, where it was always generally be your safe place, where you completely switch off and there's a clear divide between personal and professional, not anymore, unfortunately, with the mass migration of our to remote working that we're all so familiar with. So really going back to my earlier point, Sarah, of what might appear minor to one person can be a major stressor for another person. I suppose you can never, ever underestimate the causes or the reasons of workplace stress and how a person can respond to it.
Thanks a million, Laura. That's so many different factors there that I suppose I hadn't even really thought about a lot of them. And I think as well, like with the pandemic, there might even be an added stress on employees to feel like they have to stay within the company that they're feeling this stress in, because they're afraid that they might not get another role somewhere else. Or yeah, it's kind of food for thought, really.
Absolutely.
Now, Mary, there's a lot of a buzz at the moment about well-being, health and wellness strategies, extra paid time off. And I'm just wondering, like, do these kind of measures really do enough to address the actual root cause of stress overload in the workplace?
I mean, I don't think you can underestimate the importance of wellness and a focus on wellness and a focus on mental health in the workplace. And it really has jumped to the forefront of the HR agenda over the last 12 months with the pandemic, because mental health has deteriorated and there's an increase in mental health issues in the workplace. And because of that lack of maybe work and personal divide, that safe place being your home, some people it's not the safe place, and not being able to get out of their home can be a stressor in itself. So there have been just such a huge variety of factors that are contributing towards, a fragile workforce. And HR have had to deal with it. But is it enough to tackle stress in the workplace? No, if you haven't considered the environment. And so often as HR practitioners, we come across, you know, grievances or dignity at work complaints, or just general employee unhappiness that we're picking up through our pulse surveys or our employee voice surveys. And if you don't at the same time tackle the actual environment and consider it, then all the wellness initiatives in the world are not going to tackle the fundamental and the core issues. So when HR look at stress in the workplace and stressors, I think they've really got to take a holistic view of the environment and, you know, really assess it very carefully. Now, that's got much more difficult because, you know, at one point we would have had a common area like a building or premises or a number of buildings across, you know, in a single location or across jurisdictions, but there was always a place, and now there's multiple places right across every organization. The workplace is now in people's homes in many cases, or if we're dealing with the front line, you know, there's only a certain section of the workforce at work. So the role of HR has changed. And there's a far greater responsibility, and maybe at this point still enough, not enough systems and processes and change in place to address those potential stressors that might be in the workplace, but actually scattered right across the country or across jurisdictions.
Now, Laura, there's the old adage that prevention is better than cure. So what do you think can happen if workplaces don't actually do enough to prevent stress overload from happening?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, Sarah. You know, in hindsight, when I look back at different situations, I suppose I was involved in when managing workplace stress, there certainly have been early signs that you see, you know, low productivity, low motivation, heightened anxiety, worrying levels, poor concentration. And I suppose with that, Sarah, you start to see absenteeism, unfortunately, rise. Initially, you see sporadic days of absence, which can sometimes lead then to longer, more prolonged period of absence. But whilst it's extremely unsettling for the individual employee, and certainly, you know, the physical or emotional health can start to get compromised and suffer over something that, if managed effectively in the first instance by the employer, it may not have escalated or amounted to this. So a key staff member can be out for a considerable length of time. You obviously too have the cost associated with workplace absenteeism, Sarah. You may need to source temporary cover, increased workloads or pressure then on other staff members, and trying to preserve the morale and the motivation among the remaining team. Sometimes I found with workplace stress, you know, you may see a domino effect. So one person goes on stress leave, all for very, very real reasons. And then you may start to see more take flight. And that to me is a reflection on poor management or poor people management practices. Reputational damage as well, Sarah. So you don't want to be the employer that is known for high turnover due to work-related stress. You want to attract and you want to retain good people. And it's a costly mistake not to manage it effectively.
Thanks, Laura. Mary, can you give me your top three tips that HR should put in place to prevent stress overload in the workplace?
Yeah, well, and I guess number one is look at the environment. Like Laura says, if you know, if you've got an individual who is experiencing stress, what are the factors? What do you need to do as an organization? Have you carried out a risk assessment? Are you looking at workload, people management practices, the work environment, the, you know, culture of the organization? So that's one. That's my first top tip. Look at the environment. Two, take these issues seriously. Too often, I think employers and HR, you know, find themselves in positions where they might not really believe that somebody is stressed, or they may not accept that the work environment is a contributing factor to that. So I think it's really important to take things seriously, deal with them at the earliest opportunity, so that you don't find yourself in a situation where you have a complaint from an employee, because that involves a whole lot of work and a whole lot of different processes, and might ultimately result in the departure of the employee or litigation against the organization. And I suppose point number three is work with your managers, train and develop them. Teach them to look out for signs of stress in the workplace, and teach them to engage and interact effectively with their teams so that you're minimizing this risk for the organization.
What about you, Laura? Do you have the same top three tips, or do you have anything else to add?
No, absolutely. I suppose clear policies in place as well, dignity at work policies, code of conduct policies, a suitable support and supervision policy, whereby I suppose you could have a one-to-one informal meeting with your staff member, your employee, to give regular feedback. And, you know, recognition of performance as well is always good. It's one thing having policies sit nice and neat and tidy in a staff handbook, but these tools do actually work. Engaging and communicating with employees is vital to avoid burnout and other stress-related claims or issues. And as absolutely what Mary said, upskilling managers to have the appropriate skills to people management is absolutely key to minimising, you know, the risk of workplace-related stress.
Well, that's about all we have time for this morning. So I'd like to thank you both for joining. But before we wrap up the episode, I wanted to share three key takeaways from today's episode. My first takeaway is that what might appear minor to one person might be major to another. And there are a whole load of causes for workplace stress. As Laura kind of ran through earlier, you know, there's unrealistic expectations, so too much work, tight deadlines. But there's also insufficient workloads as well. So sometimes the employee might feel that they're not doing what they're hired to do, or they're not doing their best work, or they're not being challenged enough. And then there's also the working environment, both from a physical environment and also from a cultural environment. And by a cultural environment, you know, that could be something to do with lack of trust. There could be a blame culture. There could be a culture of fault finding. So there's really a whole load of causes for workplace stress, which have kind of been amplified throughout the pandemic as well. That was just one takeaway. So my second takeaway is the dangers of not addressing stress overload in the workplace. So stress overload can lead to low motivation and low productivity, which in turn can then lead to absenteeism, which can also have a bit of a domino effect as well. Once one person goes out on sick leave due to stress-related illness, then you might see that happening throughout the rest of the workforce as well, or in their immediate team. And there are certain costs involved with that as well. So for instance, like, you might have to look for temporary cover to replace that person. You know, the other team members might have increased workloads, and you might find it difficult to preserve the morale. But there's also the reputational damage of the business as well that you need to think about. So like, if you're known as a business that has a high staff turnover for this reason, then obviously that can be very damaging. And my final takeaway is, when it comes to actually looking at how to prevent stress in the workplace, have clear policies in place. That was Laura's tip there. Engage and communicate with employees regularly. So have regular one-on-ones. But look at the environment too. Conduct a risk assessment on the environment. Look at how much of a workload your employees have and what the managerial expectations are. And take issues seriously. So believe that the employee is not creating smoke without fire. If they're communicating to you that there's a problem with stress in their lives, then believe them, trust what they're saying is true, and work with managers. The final point there, train and develop them, because really, like, you know, the employees work directly with their managers. So managers really need to take a responsibility for this kind of thing. I hope I wrap things up. That was quite a long wrap up, actually, wasn't it? It was about 3 minutes, I think.
Well done, Sarah.
Thanks very much.
Spot on, as always.
Thanks a million, guys. Well, that's it from us. So make sure to tune into the second episode in this two-part series, where we'll be discussing how to address stress overload in the workplace.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.